So I want to praise God this morning as I share with you. And I'm going to share with you from a very familiar passage from the New Testament. I'm going to read from Luke chapter 7. Luke 7. And I'm going to read from the 36th verse of chapter 7 of the Gospel according to St. Luke. And particularly, I want you to connect this passage with the song we've just sung before the talk I'm going to share with you about the love that warms the heart. One of the Pharisees asked him, Jesus, to eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat at table. And behold, it means attention. Something unusual is going to come into the story. Behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was sitting at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw it, he said to himself, if this man had been a prophet, he would have known who is touching him, for she is a sinner. Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, what is it, teacher? Well, the teacher said, a certain creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he forgave them both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one, and I think this was a very careful answer, to whom he forgave more. Jesus said to him, you have judged rightly. Then Jesus, turning toward the woman, said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. This is the reason why she loved much. But he who is forgiven little, loves little. And he said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. And those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sin? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. A remarkable New Testament passage, isn't it? Remarkable because it is so down to earth, so practical, and so unexpected. You see, in the passage, you have an ordinary incident in a Jewish community. particularly in the kind of Jewish community which was the respectable community, the Pharisees. Religiously, they were the elite of the religious community. Also socially, they were the elite, because from among them came the leaders, the members of the Sanhedrin. This was, therefore, a very important event. He, Simon, was among the good Pharisees who respected the Lord Jesus very much because of his sincerity, because of his straightforwardness, because of his teaching with authority. There was a community of Pharisees which respected the Lord Jesus, like Nicodemus and others. And Simon was one of them. So he invited him to supper, or dinner, whatever time. And the Lord Jesus came into the house. And he was accompanied with his disciples. And then, of course, there were other honored guests to make the event warmer. And of course, they were the kind of people who fitted the bill. The kind of people who were going not to cause embarrassment, but who were going to, when you look at, you felt at home. So the guest chamber was full of guests, and the table was set. And Jesus came in with his disciples. Some of his disciples were not quite used to this kind of respectability. They were mostly fishermen. So perhaps they fumbled around and made a few mistakes. However, there it was. But when they had settled down, and the guest of honor was at the table, reclined in the usual Jewish custom, head towards the table and feet away from the table, for they did not use chairs, then in this atmosphere of expectancy and fairly respectability, entered a stranger, a woman of the city. No invitation was extended to her. And a woman to come where men are sitting in a Pharisee's home, in a Jewish community, that was the most embarrassing event. And then, to add to the embarrassment, it happened the woman was not a respectable character. She came from the unwanted part of the society. The kind of group a respectable Jew had nothing to do with. She came in. Being a woman, it was embarrassing. Being a sinner, it deepened the embarrassment. And particularly, she was a known sinner, a notoriously sinful person. The kind you don't have to deal with, particularly if you are religiously conservative. However, she wandered in. And I wish we could be sitting there and take scripture and look at it realistically as the portrayal is given to us. Accompany her as she comes into the room. What a cold atmosphere. Simon's eyes, they froze her. Every eye of the Pharisee simply stripped her naked. And poor she was just becoming more and more frozen. But thank God, there were critical eyes, eyes which criticized to such an extent that in their presence you feel absolutely bare to the bone. This was the atmosphere. The eyes, some of the eyes, of course, were too embarrassed to look at her. There were eyes which turned around to look aside, just to save themselves the embarrassment. Mark this, my dear Christian friends, that in that room there were only two eyes, only two eyes, which never stripped the poor woman naked, but instead covered her nakedness. There were two eyes, only two, which instead of freezing her to the bone, brought a kind of strange warmness, a strange warmth, which actually defrosted her. There were these eyes which somehow, without speaking a word, spoke welcome all the time and blessed her. That was the ticket on which she entered. For when she heard that Jesus was at table, that was the ground on which she came. This was the only qualification she dared enter the Pharisee's home, when she heard that Jesus was at table in the Pharisee's home, into which she would never dare to enter. She came. She came on the ticket of the blessed Savior. She came not qualified in any other way, except that love, eternal love, redeeming love, had given her ground on which she could walk to enter where she could never enter otherwise. For in Simon's house that day, there was good news for the sinful woman. Literally, there was good news for that particular character from that particular city. He came and blessed her. She fixed her eyes on the two eyes. As far as this woman was concerned, there was no one in the house except Jesus. Simon, the disciple, the Pharisee, respectable society, the critics, the despisers, they simply, as far as she was concerned, did not exist. She came, and as she looked, there was only one who cared, there was only one who mattered, and that was Jesus. And she came straight to him. Thank God, she came the right way, the way of his feet. This is what scripture says. She came the right way. And that is always the right way for a sinner to come. The way of his feet. Not the way of glory up there, but the way of salvation down there. She came and she stood behind to say, I am not worthy to stand before. I will take a position behind and a position below at his feet. I can't weep on his head or his hands or his face, but I am going to weep at the right place, on his feet. And the tears dropped. It was a chilling atmosphere, but the eyes of Jesus and the love of Jesus simply liberated this poor character to the extent that all the ice that had made her a sinner, all the confusion that had broken her life, all the misery and the guilt and the shame and the hating of herself, which completely shrunk her character. Oh, she was a shrunken character of a woman when she entered. Every part in her was frozen, because every part in her was a fragment. She could never know who she was. But somehow there was this tremendous, unusual love in the house. Jesus looked at her and she saw the welcome And she came straight to Jesus, and she did all those things which you heard. She wept her soul out. And in the weeping, she discovered, oh my, my tears upon his blessed feet, how dirty, how filthy. So she undid, the best she had was long hair, and she untied it and began applying the hair on his feet. And then, oh, she said, my miserable hair, I know it's not worthy. So she opened the alabaster box of the ointment in order to remove the dirt. And she applied the ointment upon his blessed feet, continually kissing them to the embarrassment of everybody. I want to ask you, who suffered in that house? Not the woman. The woman was blessed. Not Simon. Simon was critical. Not the disciples. Perhaps they were bitter faced. There was one in that house who suffered, and that was Jesus. Jesus alone suffered in that house. The atmosphere was turned from the woman, and every reproach was directed upon the Son of God. And he quietly accepted the responsibility. Quiet. Without any noise. He simply accepted the whole mess. Tears, emotion, temperament, yes, despise, criticism, everything that must have fallen upon this character of a human being, the Lord Jesus, in his gracious and divine love, accepted it to fall upon him. Well, my goodness, wasn't that good news? Wasn't that a liberation? Had this character ever met anyone who could have accepted the person she was without any qualification, without any condition, not demanding anything? This was her first encounter with redeeming love in reality. She had never known this before. This was New Testament. This was Jesus Christ. And of course she stood there amazed, utterly amazed. She had never been accepted like this before. No one had ever treated her as a human being. No one had ever given her the inkling that she too was created in God's image, and that God loved even her to the extent of sending his beloved son. No one. And now she stood there in the redeeming presence, covered from head to foot, forgiven thoroughly of her many sins in the presence of Jesus Christ. This is how Jesus unfreezes or defrosts starved humanity. And the woman, of course, was warm all over, free, freedom, love, life was entering every vein, and she felt for the first time, how is it that I too can be loved in my rags and tatters? In my fragments of a human being, in the deep messes I have messed up, can anyone ever love such a character? And yet I am loved and loved and loved. I can't understand it. My dear Christian people, this is New Testament. This is Jesus. Actually, he had not yet died on the cross, but here was him. He was taking upon himself the responsibility, the reproaches, the misery, the shattered character of this human being upon himself. Here is the divine embracing shattered, sinful, miserable life. It must be divine love. It must be redeeming love. And no one can ever stood where the woman stood without being liberated. For when the Son makes you free at this level, you become free indeed. I want to say to you, I praise God for the gospel. That is the gospel. This is the gospel which liberated this preacher this morning, 29 years ago. I was exactly in the category of this woman. Shattered, tired, young teacher in the mountains of Central Africa, lonely, walking alone, burdened to the core, tired of churchianity and religiosity and all that kind of thing. I wanted someone who, when he loved me, could liberate me from within. And I never met him. 8 years in the church, I never met him. But he met me. Oh, at the climax of my need, when I felt every fragment of my existence was rebellious, when I felt protest after protest from within. In fact, my life was one big battlefield. My intellect was my God, and it was fighting for ascendance, and my instincts were all little gods fighting on the battlefield of my life. I was just a mess. A mess. Then God entered the arena in the person of his beloved Son. Did you hear what Scripture said? No matter who criticized, and no matter who said what, and no matter who was cold, this poor woman, and I was in that same category, and every Christian who has ever known the meaning of walking in freedom, we all have been in the same boat somewhere. Until Jesus entered that boat, until Jesus uninvited, unasked for, unexpected to do it, because he loved. And when he loved extravagantly until he died on the cross of Calvary. And when he meets people there, he makes them feel they are people, whether they are dressed in rags and tatters, whether they are poor and miserable. Oh my, this is it. And I want to finish by saying, as the woman had one big need, to see the burdens which shattered her lifted, to see the reproach taken care of, to see the fragments of her existence put together, so that she could walk as a woman liberated, a new creature in Jesus. And she had it in Simon's house. For she heard Jesus said, your sins, though many, are forgiven. You walk home in peace. Which means walk home in wholeness. Walk home as a whole human being, which you have never been. And she walked home. And asked her as she walked home, her songs were about Jesus. Her peace was Jesus. And she could not hold back. I owe my Christian experience to a young teacher, a friend of mine, who, when Jesus liberated him in 1941, it was, 3 hours later, he met me like that woman, shining eyes, reality bursting out from his existence. He had met Jesus 3 hours before he met me. And he had the grace to share what he had with that lonely young African coming from a drinking party in Port. I owe the present experience to that young fellow. He did not keep quiet. Her heart was free, full of the love which liberated her, him, and he shared it with me. And here I am preaching. Have you shared what you have? Do you find you freeze when you try to share the exciting good news? Do men and women walk past you simply because you label them society outcasts. Jesus has no outcast. There is no barrier in Calvary love. The love which was shed on the cross knows no shocks. It is absolutely unshockable. And that's why it embraces everyone. And I hope it is embracing someone this morning in this beautiful sanctuary. Maybe there is a category of someone with a burden unlifted, with sin unforgiven, with an existence which is hollow, with a life made up of fragments which have never been put together. Oh, I welcome you to eternal love in the Son of God. Whoever you are, whatever your status, don't miss him. I mean, don't miss it. Please do miss the it, but don't miss him. And you are welcome to him, not to an it. Praise God, his arms are open wide. And the arms have wounds in them to encourage you to come to him with whatever burden, with whatever care, with whatever sin, with whatever personality you have. America is a blessed country if America responds to them. Apart from that, it is a shattered country. Let us pray. Blessed Lord Jesus, words can never explain the love which made you stoop to meet us. Expressions are absolutely superficial. Any terms we use just falls short of that. But these hearts of ours, Lord Jesus, want to respond to that eternal, embracing, redeeming love this morning. Oh, help anyone here, young and old, in this lovely sanctuary, never to turn a cold shoulder to the welcoming love which was shed on the cross of Calvary. May each one of us lose our burden. May we walk home this morning with that wonderful bell ringing, your sins, so many, have been forgiven. In his name, amen.